see where you have to be. Come on in. You have a comment. Come on in with that as well. And then after this, moonshots for 2026. And sometime around July, coming up this year, the lunar lander, the Griffin, will try to touch down on the moon. The Pittsburgh-based astrobiotics Griffin Mission 1 plans to land cargo at the lunar south pole. And on board, there will be a lunar rover and scientific equipment from NASA and the European Space Agency. And Firefly Aerospace, the company that had the first successful upright commercial moon landing with its robotic lander Blue Ghost 1, is aiming for a repeat in 2026. The Blue Ghost Mission 2 is expected to land on the far side of the moon, making this a U.S. first. And Blue Origin, Blue Moon Mark 1, lunar lander will target the moon's south pole. It will test critical technologies for further human activity on the moon. Just drop in. And Intuitive Machines, out of Houston, Texas, plans to send its IM-3 lunar lander to Rainier Gamma. This area looks like a gigantic swirl that's highly reflective and is linked to magnetic anomalies. It's formed from magnetic anomalies or subsurface volcanic activity, possibly impacting beta a part in that. So basically what they want to do is study the magnetic fields in that particular area. Just drop it. And Chang'e 7 from China, named after the Chinese moon goddess, is planned to launch midway 2026, and we'll look for water ice on the lunar south pole. And there's also planned to land astronauts there by 2030. So the Chinese is dropping. And this is VHVKX. And if there are any additional stations out there, if you'd like to join us or you have a comment, come on in. And then we move into the next topic here. But human evolution. And it's never slowed down. Actually, it's a sped up. We've been doing some studies in this, and it appears that after farming started, human evolution tended to follow pursuit by speeding up a bit. And we'll just get into this one. I'll give Tom another call in a moment so we get through this. He may be ready. Until recently, scientists believed that human evolution has slowed right down once our species crossed the globe. And there's a new study involving our ancient DNA. It tells up a different story. This was published in Nature. 16,000 genomes spanning 10,000 years has been analyzed, and researchers found that hundreds of gene variants evolved more recently than expected, and they carry links to modern diseases and health. This involves directional selection, where a specific gene version becomes more common over generations because it improves reproduction and survival. And researchers once thought that these occurrences were fairly rare in human DNA. Many of those genetic changes are still detectable today. Some are associated with physical traits like lighter skin color or red hair, while others are involved with health outcomes like reduced risks of bipolar disorders and alcoholism. Just dropping. And it seems the biggest changes in natural selection came about when humans transitioned from hunting and gathering to farming. And once lifestyles changed, so did evolutionary stresses. Traits better equipped to deal with agricultural diets, denser populations, and new disease environments were favored. Half of the identified gene variants are linked to modern traits and the disease risk. And the research frees up new avenues for studying human health. In tracing certain genetic traits, trait beginnings, scientists will have a better understanding of why some populations are more susceptible to or even resistant to specific diseases. And with that, if any stations out there, if you'd like to join us, you have a comment, come on in. Then I think Tom is ready for his presentation. And after that, we'll continue on with some of the other topics for tonight. So if you'd like to join us, you have a comment, come on in, and I'll give Tom a shout. And Tom, if you're ready, VHVWX, come on in.
Yeah, Victor Alpha 3, Victor with the extra returning here, Ken. Okay, thanks for that. So tonight we're going to talk about something a little different. I usually do weather and clouds and things like that. Well, we're going to go deep into the earth tonight. And we're going to have a comprehensive analysis of some deep earth exploration and the Mengxiang initiative. And this is basically an initiative undertaken by China to reach a new record for depth of a borehole. Let me drop it. Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-ray 4ID. So we're going to talk a little bit about the history of deep earth exploration and figure out what's going on. So the Earth's mantle, it's one of the least explored areas of the Earth, even though we basically live on top of it. And the scientific journey to explore this began in the early 20th century and is fundamentally rooted in the 1909 discovery by the Croatian seismologist Andrija Mohorovic, who identified a distinct boundary where seismic waves' velocities increase sharply as they transition from the rigid crust to the denser, more ductile mantle. And this boundary is known as the Mohorovic discontinuity, or the MOHO. And this boundary is sort of the holy grail of geophysics, and it represents a target that is basically largely untouched by humans, and it's not well understood, even a whole century later. Let me drop it. Victor Alpha 3, Victor with the X-ray 4ID. So, there were early geological inquiries in the 19th century that supported figures like Charles Darwin, and they had initially thought to understand simpler structures like coral island formations through drilling. But the post-World War II era, that's what we saw, where we had these real development for ambitions into higher stakes, drilling and engineering projects, and there was also a sense of national prestige associated with it. So the narrative of deep drilling is essentially a history of humans that are attempting to peel back the onion-like skin of the crust, which averages 40 kilometers in thickness on the continents, but it can be as thin as 5 to 10 kilometers under the oceans. And this is to reach the 3,959-mile deep core of our planet. So the first major concerted effort to reach the MOHO was the American initiative known as Project MOHO. And this was conceived in 1957 by a group of scientists within the American Miscellaneous Society, AMSOC, and the project was positioned as a geoscientific counterpart to the space race, seeking to achieve for the Earth's interior what NASA was essentially attempting to do for the stars. And by 1958, the National Academy of Sciences, recommended federal funding for this project that would bypass the thick continental crust by drilling through the seabed. In 1961, Project MOHO reached a historic milestone off the coast of Guadalupe Island, Mexico, where the drill ship CUSS-1 successfully penetrated 183 meters, 601 feet, into the seafloor and waters 3,600 meters, that's 11,700 feet deep. And this achievement was revolutionary at the time, not for the depth of the hole, but for the technological innovation of dynamic positioning, which used hull-mounted propellers to keep the ship centered over the borehole without the use of anchors. And this is a technology that remains a cornerstone of the modern offshore oil and gas industry today. Let me drop it. So, despite obtaining core samples that were confirmed by the presence of the Miocene Age sediments and underlying basalt, Project MOHO was ultimately defunded in 1966 by the U.S. Congress due to escalating costs, budget mismanagement, and scientific disagreements over the project's goals. Now, the following the stalling of this project, the Soviet Union, they launched their own massive project in 1970 on the Kola Peninsula near Murmansk, and this is about 240 kilometers north of the Arctic Circle. And unlike the American attempt to reach the Mohol through thin oceanic crust, the Soviets targeted the thick ancient rocks of the Baltic Shield, aiming for a depth of 15,000 meters, that's 15 kilometers. So for 24 years, this project, housed in a 27-story superstructure, pushed the limits of material science and mechanical engineering. And the primary borehole, SG-3, eventually reached 12,262 meters, or 40,230 feet deep, in 1989, making it the deepest vertical point ever reached by humans, a record that still stands today. Now, the project utilized the Uralmash 15,000 rig, which was specifically modified to handle the immense weight of the drill string and the torque required to grind through Precambrian granite that was nearly 3 billion years old. Now, the Kola project was not just an engineering feat. It was a site of constant scientific revelation that overturned decades of geological theory. Let me drop it. One of the most significant discoveries of the Kola site was the absence of the Conrad discontinuity. So previous seismic models had predicted a transition from granite to denser basalt at a depth of about 7 kilometers, but the drill cores revealed only granite continuing deep into the crust. So scientists concluded that the seismic waves were not reflecting off a change in rock type, but rather a metamorphic transition within the granite itself, where heat and pressure alter the rock's physical properties. So furthermore to this, the team was shocked to find that hot mineralized water at depths of 3 to 6 kilometers existed. Geologists had previously believed that the weight of the overlying rock would make the crust impermeable to such at such depths up to water and other liquid substances, but the fractured rock contaminated water that had likely been forced out of minerals by pressure and trapped by the impermeable layers above. And what's astonishing about this is that the Kola team discovered 24 species of microscopic plankton fossils at a depth of 6.7 kilometers. Let me drop it. So these fossils, these are actually Precambrian organisms that were found intact, and they were preserved within organic carbon and nitrogen compounds that protected them from the intense heat and pressure, proving that life could exist or at least be preserved far deep within the earth and much deeper than previously ever imagined. So the termination of the Kola project in the early 1990s was largely driven by physical and economic constraints. And as the drill passed 12,000 meters, temperatures reached 180 degrees Celsius. That's 356 degrees Fahrenheit, nearly double what was predicted for that depth. So this extreme heat caused the granite to behave less like a solid and more like a plastic, with the borehole walls oozing back into the hole and trapping the drill bits. By 1992, the breakdown of drilling equipment due to the heat and a lack of funding following the collapse of the Soviet Union forced a halt to the project, and this was officially abandoned in 2008. So modern directional oil wells, such as Russia's Sakhalin-1, they've achieved longer total measured length, up to 12,345 meters. The Kola SG-3 remains the deepest vertical plunge into the Earth's interior. So there have been other notable international efforts as well followed, such as the German Continental Deep Drilling Program, the KTB, that got down to 9,101 meters in Bavaria before it had to stop due to temperatures of 260 degrees Celsius. And Japan's Chikyu vessel, which was launched in 2005 with the goal of reaching the mantle through the ocean floor. Let me drop it. So the current major project that's ongoing right now globally is the Chinese Mengjiang project, the DREAM project, and this encompasses the world's most advanced ocean drilling vessel. In November 2024 is when the project started. So it was designed by the 708 Research Institute and built by Huangpu Wenchang Shipbuilding. The Mengjiang, it's actually a huge platform. It measures 179.8 meters in length with a displacement of 42,600 metric tons. And it's the first vessel in the world to integrate scientific deep ocean drilling, oil and gas exploration, and natural gas hydrates, plus methane ice investigation into a single platform. So it has a maximum drilling depth capability right now of 11,000 meters, and it's specifically engineered to achieve what Project Mohol could not. They want to penetrate the MOHO discontinuity and sample the Earth's upper mantle. So the vessel's technical specifications are tailored for the most extreme environments on Earth, and it has a range of 15,000 nautical miles and self-sustainability window of about 120 days, allowing it to operate unrestricted in waters, including polar regions, while withstanding, typhoon conditions with winds up to 150 miles an hour.